Hey, coming up, we've got the brand new Lumia 1320. We've got the Mimo from Asus. They have two new tablets. We've got a Nikon P600 review. Imagine a camera with a 60x zoom. Our first look at the Round Moto 360. And yes, the first review you'll see anywhere of the Apple Watch. It's time to watch before you buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Before You Buy is brought to you by NatureBox. NatureBox ships great-tasting, healthy snacks right to your door. Forget the vending machine and start snacking smarter with healthy, delicious treats like chocolate quinoa granola. To get your free NatureBox sampler, go to naturebox.com/twit. That's naturebox.com/twit.
Welcome to Before You Buy, the product review show here on Twit, where we get some of the most interesting new products together with our talented staff, so you get a real-world look at what a product would be like to use. And we're going to start off with our news director, Mike Elgin, who is not known as a Windows Phone aficionado.
Not really.
We're trying to woo you over. You use an iPhone.
I do. Well, I've been using a Moto X, and then before that I had a Nexus phone.
Oh, okay. So you're an Android.
But I'm moving back to the iPhone because of the iPhone 6.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's gigantic.
Well, I have to say, those of us who've used the Nokia Lumias are very impressed with the hardware.
Yep. Yep.
Nokia's got some of the best cameras in the smartphone market. Many people like the elegance of Windows Phone, so we thought we'd plague you with the brand new Nokia Lumia 1320.
And I'm impressed. Let me tell you about the two essential qualities of this device. That is, it's huge. It's a six inch screen.
I know. I
love
that
gigantic.
About my 1520. And yeah, it's pretty too. It's,
let me start this up. Yeah, it's very, very nice and bright, and it's cheap. This is the Cricket wireless prepaid one, $279.99.
Wow.
Yes, it's cheap and big. So this is a phablet that is really good. We're going to get into the details of how good it is, but it's very inexpensive. Now, of course, normally the 1320 comes in orange, yellow, black, and white. This one is just orange because this is the Cricket Wireless. And, of course, Cricket is a prepaid wireless company that's owned by AT&T.
And so they have orange.
That's right. And this phone only works on AT&T within the United States.
All right.
Okay. So it's a 6-inch screen, 720p HD. So it's not a super high-resolution screen. Okay. That's one of the ways they're saving money. 1280 by 720. And it's a 245 PPI screen, which is not very good. It's not super high res as some of the bigger and better phablets are. Okay, it's 7.76 ounces. That's pretty heavy. So this is a half pound, basically. Half pound phone. But again, one of the reasons for that is it has a really big battery, and you get 2 days of battery life from this thing, which is
a really great
thing. 21 hours, according to Nokia. And in my usage, I got a little bit better than that, actually. It only has 1 gig of RAM. It's a Snapdragon S4, so it's not the latest and greatest, but the performance is very good. Microsoft is very good, actually, at getting a lot of performance out of minimal hardware.
Most of the Windows phones have a gig, and that seems to be plenty. In fact, there's a lot with 512 megs.
Yep. And you see, I have not seen any lag or any problems with this at all. Now, one of the downsides of this hardware-wise is that it only has 8 gigabytes of built-in storage, and only 5.5 gigs of that is available to you because Windows Phone takes up so much of it and the other system software that Nokia puts into it.
Now, its big brother, the 1520, has an SD card slot. Does this have an SD card slot?
It does. Right. It does, in fact. And the camera, you mentioned that Nokia has really great cameras. This does not have a great camera. Mm-hmm. It has a very mediocre 5-megapixel rear camera and a VGA camera. So this is not for camera fans at all. It's a good utilitarian camera for everyday use. The performance is so, but this is not a camera photo fans device at all. So it comes with lots of goodies on the software front. Comes with Office, Xbox games, of course, the Bing music identifier, Nokia Hear Maps, which are fantastic, and I'll get into why they're fantastic in just a sec. And it comes with lots of partner apps and so on. This does support NFC. So if you want to use Google Wallet or whatever, you can do that with NFC.
They're calling this a business phone.
They are, and it's kind of an odd thing. And I think that, you know, It's perfectly great for somebody who is not going to use it for business. It's a great, in fact,
we
talk about like low cost and getting a big bang for the buck for in various devices. But in fact, it's really the whole overall strategy for your mobile life. This is a great strategy for that because basically one device at this low price serves as a small tablet and also a big phone. That's what phablets are supposed to be all about. And this will do it for you at a very, very low price. And the fact that it's prepaid on Cricket, there's some savings to be had there.
Is Cricket the only U.S. carrier that offers the 1320?
AT&T and Cricket are the only carriers.
AT&T and Cricket. Okay.
Exactly. Now, internationally, this is basically an international phone that, Nokia basically said, you know what, let's just go ahead and sell it in the U.S.
Got
too.
It.
Now, internationally, there's the LTE is fantastic on this. And you can get this really cheap on Amazon for the international version. So if you travel a lot and want a phone that's going to be great while you're abroad, this is a great phone for that. You can get it for literally less than $200 on AT&T, and then you'll get to take advantage of
I like that big screen. And, you know, 720p on a big screen like that, that's not that bad. I mean, that's close to Apple's, what Apple calls retinas for
it's pretty
200
good.
DPI.
Yeah, it's really pretty good. Now, I'm going to show you. These pictures are not great. This is without the flash. That's with the flash. You know, this is sort of still life and so on. Yeah. It's not horrible. You know,
but that's probably why they're saying it's a business phone. It's not.
Yeah, it's not an enthusiast. Yeah.
And is it it's the latest Windows Phone 8.1?
That's exactly right. And it's just fantastic. Now this is also running at a sort of a Nokia mod that puts the tiles full screen like this and gives it a little bit of a performance boost, which is really nice. Nokia Black, I believe it's called, and that is really nice. There's lots of downloadable goodies.
Okay. Now, it's not cyan.
Now
right.
Let me give you an example of how this can be really cool. Now it has there are multiple tiles here for the Here mapping software. There are two actually. There's Here Maps and Here Drive.
Right.
One of the great things about Here I'm discovering is that you can download offline maps. So you can download the entire state of California, right? And then without a connection, you can drive around.
Isn't that great?
And it's really convenient, really nice. And, of course, it has every region and every
Microsoft licensed
the
Here for Windows Phone, but Nokia still owns Here. And
yes.
They've decided already to make it available on other phones. So that's interesting.
Yep.
It's because it was a competitive advantage for Windows Phone.
That's right.
When it was just Nokia.
That's right.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I really like the Here Maps. I agree with you.
Yeah. Now, the pros are that it's big and cheap. The performance is plentiful good. It's like it's really nice to use, actually. The screen is actually has a nice benefit. In bright sunlight, this screen looks great. It looks fine. It's far better than average in bright sunlight. So that's a real benefit. Again, great battery life. Nokia claims 21 hours. And lots of truly valuable Nokia goodies, you know, the mix radio, the Molly player, video player, and so on. Those are really great features that you don't get on a lot of other phones. Now, the cons are that it's not super high resolution. The battery's not removable. It's heavy. It's half a pound, basically. You can't take advantage of the LTE.
It doesn't use LTE in the U.S. It's
not
only
in the U.S.
European.
Exactly. So when you use it as a phone and put it up to your ear, it's a little hard to place the speaker. It's a little awkward in that sense. You kind of have to work at it. And the sound quality is not spectacular. It's acceptable in both directions. So that's kind of, generally speaking, a con. And the fact that it only has 5.5 gigs of available storage is a downside.
A real con,
and the cameras are not great. However, I'm giving this a buy because at that price, this is a really great device for general purpose use that can be used as a tablet and a phone. Super cheap. I think this is a really solid device, and I really like it.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're not switching.
No. Well, I can see myself buying this for international travel or
absolutely.
As a secondary device or whatever.
At that price.
Instead of buying a mini tablet, this would be a great alternative.
I just threaten my kids, if you break another iPhone, you're getting a Lumia.
This won't do it. They'll like this, actually.
Dang it. That's the Lumia 1320, a definite buy from news director Mike Elgin. You see him, of course, every Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, 1700 UTC Tech News.
That's right.
Today. I want to look at the Mimo. Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to take a look at this round watch. Mike, you have one of these too, the Moto 360.
I do indeed.
I'm trying to decide. There it is. There's two of them now. Buy, try, don't buy. We'll also take a look at, believe it or not, speaking of watches, the new Apple iWatch, or Apple Watch, I guess they're calling it. We're going to have our first review of that. It's not even out yet. Meanwhile, Jason Howell is here, host of All About Android. He produces TNT. Poof, it's magic.
I turn from Mike Elgin into Jason Howell.
We do have to adjust the camera so that he can get his head in the frame, however.
Here, I'll lower my seat.
Would you mind?
Does that work?
I saw you earlier today. I was doing Mac Break Weekly, and you were running around the studio shooting pictures with this thing.
Well, yeah, these things, actually. We have the Asus MemoPad 7 and the MemoPad 8. Two different tablets, same line. And these are kind of notable in the Android tablet world because they're running the 64-bit Intel Atom Z 3745 processor.
They are not ARM processor. They're an Intel processor.
They're Intel Atom processor. So, yeah. And, you know, honestly, so we've got the 7 and the 8. I've never done a dual review here necessarily. And thankfully, they're both very similar. One is obviously just a little bit larger than the other. But I can give you kind of the specs that match on both and then how they differ. So let's start there. This is, of course, a 7-inch 1280 by 800 IPS LCD display. The other one has, you know, an 8-inch of the same technology. 1 gig of RAM in these devices, 16 gigs of storage, micro SD card slot on the side. Got a 5-megapixel rear-facing camera back here, and then a 2-megapixel front-facing camera. And this is a 3910 milliamp hour battery. And of course, this is a Bay Trail processor. So battery performance is actually one thing that I've really liked about this. It's very conservative as far as the battery is concerned. I hardly had to even worry about plugging these things in, and I was using them relatively regularly because I've had them for a few weeks now. Other things have come along to kind of trump them on this show, but it's so also kind of hard to share your time between two tablets.
It
right?
is. You have to force yourself to do it. The 7-inch looks a lot like the Nexus 7.
Yes, it does, actually. And, you know, what can I say about the 7-inch versus the 6? I'd say the 7-inch actually performed a little worse than the 6. And that's because the 7-inch...
Wait a minute, that's just the 8-inch. And that's
sorry. The 7-inch. Yes, the 8 versus see... the 7. I'm
sorry.
Getting them all mixed up.
It's very confusing.
The 8-inch has a 1.33 gigahertz quad-core processor.
Okay.
The 7-inch has a 1.86.
It's faster.
So it's a little bit faster.
That's weird.
I do perceive a difference. When I was gaming on the smaller tablet, I actually noticed an improvement, a marked improvement between the two. And also the camera. So I don't normally spend a whole lot of time reviewing camera performance on tablets. Personally, my own use case, I don't really take a whole lot of pictures, but I know people do. But it's important to know that the larger tablet, the 8, actually produces much better pictures than the 7. And Brian, I don't know if you have some of those lined up in there.
You're making this hard because this is a faster processor.
I know.
But the bigger one gets a bigger better camera.
Yes. So what's most important to you?
Well, that's
I would
good
venture
detail,
to
actually.
Say, so the first one, I believe, is the 7. Is that right? And then the second one is the 8. Might be kind of hard to see here, but you'll probably notice as we kind
of
go through
this.
These
is a tough picture because of the lighting.
7 front-facing camera.
Yeah.
And then 8,
oh, yeah,
a little
8
bit sharper,
better.
A little
yeah,
bit more
detail.
Vivid.
Yeah.
7, you can see a little bit of blurring around the lines. And then the 8, it kind of sharpens a little bit further out, too. You get a little bit of a wider camera perspective.
It's almost as if they're over-sharpening on the 7.
Yeah, they're doing something, and I really noticed it on a desktop computer, being able to blow these pictures up and really take a look at them. The 7 consistently was poorer pictures, pretty noticeably, than the 8. So if that's important to you, there you go. You know, I don't know how many people see it.
Yeah, you can see
really
that was
7-8.
That was 7-8, right? The 7, so it's just a little softer, and the 8's a lot crisper, yeah.
Yep. Totally. So there's that. I mean, as far as the design is concerned on these tablets, I didn't really mention the price here, right? The MemoPad 7 is $149.99.
Wow.
So consider
that's
this budget tablet category.
Wow.
Oh, yes. Definitely less. The larger, the 8, is $199.
50 bucks
so,
more.
Yep, 50 bucks more, and you get a little bit larger of the size. And the design, I'd say, is pretty unassuming. I don't hate the design at all, actually. I kind of like it. It's just kind of nondescript for the most part. So if you're looking for style... Not going to get much of style points out of these, but they're super solid. They don't, you know, do the creaky thing.
When I saw you taking a picture with this Asus 7 memo pad, the 7-inch, I thought it was a Samsung.
Oh, okay.
I thought, wow, he's got a really big Samsung phone there.
Yeah, I could totally see that from afar, especially.
How's that feel? Yeah.
The UI is, of course, Asus's Zen
Do they customize it a lot? Or
they don't customize it a ton. I mean, you know, it's obviously a little different here. They've kind of, you know, made some changes, right. But overall, everything's where you expect it to be. Ooh. They've definitely skinned that.
That's the settings.
It almost has like a material design quality to it with the colors and the dots and everything. But I'm not sure how I feel about that, to be honest.
It is Kit Kat.
It is Kit Kat. It's running 4.4.2.
A little behind. All right.
Yeah. What else have I not talked about here? There's some interesting kind of software enhancements to the cameras. Things like smart remove, so you can remove motion, you know, things in the background that are moving, or
It's amazing.
Selfie
really.
Mode for rear facing
for under $200. These are. I mean, I'm sure there's pros and cons, but these are pretty credible entries.
I would absolutely agree.
And at that price, it really just shows you the commoditization of tablets.
Oh, it's kind of crazy right now. And especially when you consider like tablets sub $150 versus what you get for phones for $300.
I know.
It's such a wide.
Or $700.
Or $500 or $700. Meanwhile, you're talking about larger, more capable devices in a lot of different ways.
Isn't that interesting?
SD
card memory, extra storage?
Yes, both have micro SD card slots.
And what kind of speakers?
They have stereo speakers on the back.
Dual back ported stereo, yep. Okay.
You can kind of see them down at the bottom there.
Yeah. Sound is okay?
Sound is all right, yeah. I actually did notice... part of the gaming performance issue that I noticed on the larger tablet was a weird sound issue when I gamed where things would kind of repeat sometimes. Mm. Audio actually would kind of... Mm. Almost as if it were being run through a delay, and I'm not sure if it was a hardware issue or a software issue, but I definitely noticed that, and I didn't notice it on the smaller
thank
tablet.
Thank you for forcing yourself to use both of these.
It was hard. I got to tell you.
Believe me.
This is not an easy review to do when you talk about two tablets. So
let's get the pros and cons.
Let's do that. So pros, obviously, it's super affordable. Sturdy design. I actually really like the design, even though it's unassuming. It's pretty great. And I'd say they perform pretty darn well. They're very capable little tablets, particularly with that that Atom processor in there. The cons, definitely the camera. I'd say more so on the smaller of the two, on the 7 versus the 8, but camera performance overall wasn't amazing. 1 gig of RAM is going to, you know, potentially... In the long run, maybe that'll be a little low.
Top Android phones now have 3.
Oh, yeah. They're coming out with 3 right now.
And it
now.
Does make a difference in performance.
It does. It absolutely does. And then display, maybe, because these aren't like super high-res displays. Right. They're, you know, 216 pixels per inch. But, I mean, that's really a maybe. I think when you're talking budget category, these are perfectly
720p
capable.
720p is pretty typical.
Yeah. So, verdict, I'd say... I'd recommend that you buy the 7. I think $150 roundabouts is a really great price for this kind of technology. I'd say try the 8. See if $50 is really worth it for the 8 because it does have some drawbacks, I thought, between the two.
There you go. The Asus Memo Pad 7 and 8.
That's right.
Twice the review for our money. Thank you, Jason Al.
I can breathe.
Host of All About Android, the brand new Android App Arena. Look at great Android apps every week.
That's right. This week, going to be looking at apps that are taking the material design approach and kind of embracing it, which is kind of the next design language of Android.
Yeah, a little preview of what we're going to get from the next version of Android. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you.
I'm going to take a walk.
All right.
I'm going to
unplug later.
Here. I got a ways to go. Miles to go before I sleep. I had a camera over the weekend. We went to the 49ers game from Nikon, the Coolpix P600. And this camera had 60x zoom.
Wow.
And
perfect
I thought,
for a game, right?
Wow, yeah.
Yeah.
But we also thought we'd give it to a professional photographer. So let me walk on over here. We'll say hello to Paul, our reviewer. So our photographer is here, Colorado-based photographer Paul DeBourgeois. Did I say that right?
You did.
That wasn't easy. Hi, Paul. It's good to see you.
Hi, Leo. Great to be here.
What kind of shooting do you normally do?
I specialize in hot air balloon photography.
Wow.
I'm an official photographer for the largest annual balloon event in the world, which is the Albuquerque International Balloon Fiesta, which is coming up in just a couple of weeks.
I've always wanted to go to that. And boy, those are great images. I've seen your images. It's the air is clear. The colors are vivid and bright. There you go. And it's just gorgeous to see that. Do you go up in the balloon to shoot, too?
I fly and I shoot from the ground. That's right.
Yeah. Wow. What fun. Well, who better to try out a camera with 60x optical zoom? This is a wild camera. It's a little under $500. It's the Nikon Coolpix P600.
And we thought, you know, oh, sure, we could review it. But who better than a guy who goes up in balloons to review a camera with that kind of zoom? Paul, what'd you think?
I liked it. You know, you mentioned the 60X zoom. I think that's the major feature for that camera. If you shot 35 millimeter film, the lens equivalent there is like having the range from a 24 millimeter on the wide end, which is a really nice wide start, to 1,440 millimeters on the long end.
Holy cow. Yeah. Are the shots we're seeing now from this camera?
Yes, everything that you've shown so far is from that
camera. Including the video.
Including the video, yes. And there's a really cool feature in the video. I did one of those, and that is a high-speed capture that allows you to play it back in slow motion. And one of the videos that I did there was the balloon burner flame. There you're zooming in on the summit of Pikes Peak in Colorado Springs, trying to show you the capability of the zoom, and
this
then backing
amazing.
Way off.
Yeah. Wow.
So absolutely, that lens is the key feature for that particular camera.
Now, what do you normally shoot?
I'm a Nikon guy. Mm-hmm. I shoot Nikon DSLRs, both full frame and crop sensor, APS-C sensors.
Okay. So, you know, the first thing I noticed is compared to a DSLR, well, first of all, of course, it's a permanent lens, but it also feels a little light and plasticky compared to a DSLR. But it does have one advantage at a lot of point. The Nikon's kind of, the Coolpix has really introduced was this articulated sensor that really allows you to shoot from up, from down. You can be surreptitious and shoot from your belly like it's an old Rolly. What did you think of that?
I found that to be a really useful feature. At balloon events, you have a lot of crowds standing around the balloons as they're inflating.
Right.
And it was really great for me to be able to put the camera up over my head, twist the LCD, and be able to see exactly what I was shooting. So that was very helpful.
Now,
the other thing that...
Go ahead.
Well, also, as you said, the surreptitious part. Many times if I'm trying to get crowd reaction shots, I will actually carry the camera down at my waist. And it was handy to be able to twist that LCD up and take candids from unsuspecting participants at the balloon rally with their expressions and emotions and things like that.
I found the image quality on the LCD fine for shooting. I don't know how it was in bright sunlight. I imagine a little more difficult to read.
I didn't really have a problem with it, and I did use it on that kind of camera. I won't put my eye to the viewfinder.
Well,
I'll use the LCD.
And that was what I was going to bring up. It better be okay in bright sunlight, because normally you'd want to use the viewfinder. It's the smallest, worst video tap I've ever seen. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Unusable, probably.
So
you're going to be using the articulated LCD, and I doubt very much that you'll be using this. You look like you're watching a 1950s television set. It's terrible.
Right.
No RAW in this either. If you're a pro, you have to shoot JPEG.
Right. And that's probably my biggest disappointment with the camera, because I shoot exclusively in RAW.
Yeah.
So, that was one drawback. But I also checked
the
competitive cameras. Yeah, that's the high speed video. Slow motion of heating the inside of the balloon.
The colors seem very rich and accurate as well, especially unusually so for video.
Yes.
All right. So now I'll tell you some of the other things I didn't like about this. Maybe you didn't notice these. If I shoot in portrait, it didn't rotate them.
Right.
I had to go through them all and manually rotate them. That's just an annoyance, but it's an odd thing for a company that like Nikon that ought to know better. How big? It's a 16 megapixel?
16 megapixel. The image sensor itself is about the size of Lincoln's head on a penny.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's not a very big image sensor, and 16 megapixels is plenty to put on a sensor that size.
Yeah. And how was it in low light shooting? Did you try anything? I mean, bright sunlight, it's not hard for a camera to do a good job, but very hard for a digital camera to do a good job in low light.
Right. The lens itself is a relatively slow lens.
Yeah.
At the widest zoom length, it's an f3.5. At the telephoto end, it's f6.5. So it does want to work in brighter subjects. Those were some sunrise shots I shot in Garden of the Gods in Colorado Springs. That particular shot you're showing right now, I wanted you to be able to see the out of focus called the bokeh.
Yeah.
I wanted you to be able to see, you know, what the best you could expect. And a small image sensor camera is not known for great bokeh, but this camera did okay.
It's not bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not bad at all. The depth, the shallow depth of field, the mountains out of focus, the flowers in focus. And this is this macro? Does it have a macro setting?
It does, and that's what I used for those up close on the flowers.
That, that looks pretty darn nice. Now, I took some pictures at the football game to give you a sense, and I think Brian Burnett, our technical director, can show you. We were at the Niners game. This is the zoomed out. We're way up in the stands, the American flag, you know. And way down there in the middle, you'll see the lead singer from Train singing the national anthem. Zoomed in a 60X, you can see the picture, the details. His this is better than binoculars. I mean, I was blown away. Now, it's there's another one. This is that's Jerry Rice and Joe Montana on the right, Ronnie Lott on the field. And I tell you, they look like little dots from our seats in the stands. But you, as well as binoculars, you can zoom right in. However, I found it very hard to shoot at 60X without a tripod because you move the camera just a... I got a lot of pictures of people's feet and the tops of their heads.
Yes.
Yeah. You got to... So, and I've always said this, when something has that much zoom, you're going to need a tripod or just be very careful to hold this steady as you're shooting.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I sent you a couple of pictures of the moon, full moon and crescent moons that I shot. And that's... Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, Paul, that's amazing.
Thanks. That gives you... I use the moon as my test subject because not only is it far away and you, there's plenty of detail if you're able to pull it out, but it's also moving. So you not only have to be able to expose properly for it, but the camera has to have a good enough lens to be able to capture that image at full zoom while the subject is moving slightly. So
wow, that
I thought it passed
impressive.
My test.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely passed my test for moonshot.
And I'm sure that's on a tripod.
Yes.
And what were you shooting at? What frame, you know, shutter speed and aperture on this?
I use the sharper apertures, which is in the mid range, probably around on that camera f4.5.
So you get more better focus.
Right. Yeah. And the shutter speed for the moon is pretty fast. It can be up around 1/200th of a second, 1/400th of a second.
Because it's bright.
Yeah. The moon is bright. Yes.
Yeah. Wow. Those first two images, the black and white, did you process those a lot in Photoshop?
I processed them only a very tiny bit in Nikon's Capture 2 NX.
Those are stunning.
Yeah. It's a great... one of the benefits that I see for that camera is... If you want a long zoom lens for bright light work and you don't want to pay the $4,000 or $5,000 or $8,000 that it would cost to put an 800 millimeter or a 1200 millimeter lens on your camera, this is a real good option for a low cost, bright light situation, long zoom.
Boy, this is where I wish we had RAW.
Yes.
I mean, this is a gorgeous shot. Wow, that is just spectacular. Well, let's talk about the pros and cons. We're talking about the Nikon Coolpix P600, $429 list. So it's inexpensive and a 60X zoom. What did you like about it, Paul?
I love the lens, the long lens.
Yeah.
Great, obviously. Also, the camera has exposure modes for all skill levels. If you're a beginner, it's got the preset scene modes where it's basically a point and shoot. Mm-hmm. White balance, shutter speeds, all those things are figured out for you. So you just set it to landscape or portrait or fireworks or whatever, and it's there. If you're more advanced and you want to take control of the exposure settings, it has the typical PASM that Nikon offers, program, aperture priority, shutter priority, and full manual. So that's, I thought, was a very strong point for the camera. Also, the articulating LCD, the electronic viewfinder, if you use that, has a diopter control so that if you wear glasses, you can adjust it and you'll be able to see sharp without your glasses or, you know, to adjust for your eye. And then finally, a very tiny thing, but could be important, the lens actually has filter threads. So you can put on a polarizer or a neutral density filter. Those are the things that are really hard to duplicate in Photoshop.
Yeah.
So that's handy.
And sometimes something unusual in a camera like this, a point and shoot. Boy, these images are gorgeous. How about negatives? What didn't you like about this?
Well, you already mentioned this, that there's no raw capture. It only saves in JPEG. And so from the standpoint, if you like to post-process, your options are very limited. The second thing is that I already mentioned the relatively slow lens, f3.5 on the wide end to f6.5 on the long end. So your subjects, especially if you're zooming into them, have to be pretty bright. A couple of small things. The battery has to be charged in the camera with the camera turned off.
Yeah, they don't give you a standalone charger.
No. You can buy them aftermarket from other than Nikon, but if you have a second battery and, you know, you still can't pop that battery in and shoot some more.
Right.
Yeah, and then finally, if you look at the bottom of the camera, the battery door and the memory card door, if you have a tripod plate and you're mounted to a tripod mounting plate, you have to take that mounting plate off to get to the memory card.
Bugs the hell out of me, although I have to say some high-end cameras have the same problem.
It's
a little annoying. Yeah, you have to take it off the tripod. I had one other thing, and I don't know if you noticed this problem, but sometimes the zoom was unresponsive. I was doing a lot of zooming in and out. Maybe I broke it. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm spoiled because on my DSLRs, I turn the zoom, turn the lens to zoom.
Yeah.
You have to wait for the motor to move the lens in and out on that. And it was a little bit difficult with some of the faster moving subjects on the balloon field.
So at 429 with a 60X zoom, now it comes down to your try, buy, or don't buy. Paul, what do you think?
Well, I'm going to land right in the middle of the fence on this one, Leo. I think it's a try, because there are so many different ways that photographers use their cameras. Again, if you're looking for an inexpensive long lens that you would use in bright light, this would be a great choice. If you're interested in growing with that same camera and getting into Photoshop and post-processing, the lack of RAW is a definite showstopper for me. But I think if you want a very light, fully capable camera to take on travel, on trips, on vacations, to shoot the family shots. It's great for video. I think it's definitely one worth considering. So definitely a try and possibly a buy if it suits what you want to do.
Well, if you're ever going to shoot the moon, this costs less than most telephoto lenses. I was a little skeptical on this camera until I saw those shots, Paul. Boy, I tell you, it's not the camera, it's the photographer. Paul D. DeBourgeois is at colorbandit.com, where you can see his amazing photos, hotairphotos.com as well. He's going to be at the Albuquerque Hot Air Balloon Festival in a couple of weeks. Look for him there. That should be a lot of fun. And, of course, we'll look for your images at colorbandit.com. Paul, really great to get a pro looking at this camera. I really thank you.
Oh, thank you, Leo. I appreciate it.
Take care. Paul DeBourgeois, again, a try, not an unequivocal buy, but some really nice features on this, the Coolpix P600 from Nikon. All right. Well, I don't know how this is possible. It seems unlikely, but somehow we have a review of the Apple Watch. Here with me right now from OMG Craft, I've got Chad Johnson. He's, of course, one of our talented producers in town. He's also read it up and the Gizwiz. Watch.
So they announced this new watch. Yeah, this is very recently. You said the Apple Watch. This is actually the iPhone Watch, actually. It's very similar. It's brand new, but it's really cool. It mirrors absolutely everything that your iPhone does right on the screen.
Let's see it.
Yeah, here, I can just show it off right here.
He made one.
Right.
Hey, there is a downside, though. You have to have an iPhone to use it.
How did you see through my... Right. Dang it.
I thought it was a Samsung watch. What did I know?
No.
It looks just like the new Samsung.
So we're joking around.
What is that strap, though?
This is an armband. This is called the Pure View, Pure Move.
Yeah.
And this is... You'd use this for if you were
exercising,
running around.
Exercising,
yeah. For exercising, for moving around.
I've bought a number of these, and they fall apart. They don't hold the phone well. This looks pretty sturdy.
This is a really, really great one of these armbands. So first thing is whatever strap you're using in one of these armbands is probably the most important thing. It's the thing that's right on your arm, and when you're running around, this is the thing that's going to be the most annoying. And this is one of the best straps I have ever felt. It uses sort of a foam strap. It's odor resistant. It's machine washable.
That's nice.
And it has Velcro. That's the softest Velcro I have ever felt. You know, Velcro has two sides. It has the soft side and then it has the hard side. But even that prickly side, feel this.
Ooh. It's like... That's a soft prickly.
It's like
side.
Soft prickly. It's insane. It's really crazy. And it stays really attached.
But it's
really
solid.
Well.
It's not. That's gonna, the other it's not thing. Loose.
Is it's very solid. The glue that they've used to make sure that this Velcro is attached is really nice. Like I said, machine washable.
Right.
And it feels incredibly secure.
Do you run? Are you a runner?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Zombies Run is my.
Isn't that a great game?
Isn't that fun?
And so that's what this is something really good for. Of course, you could have music and stuff, but Zombies Run chases you
exactly
as you're running down the street, and it's an iPhone app. That's perfect.
And there's different. I right now have it upside down. Here's the notifications. Here's the settings. Uh-huh. But that's so that
that's
I can
so
look
read
at
it. Yeah.
So it looks a little weird. I realize that it looks
no. But that makes sense for what you're doing with it. Yeah.
So it comes in two colors. This is the black and green variety. It comes in white and pink as well.
Oh.
It also comes in two sizes. There's a small medium, which is about 9 to 12 inches in diameter. But this one is the medium large, which is 10 to 15 inches for the strap here. The strap is antibacterial. It also comes with a cord keeper. So if you want to, you can take this. Which
it like, kind of arranges your
there
cords.
There you go. Yeah.
So you can store it all together. And
so you can keep,
nice.
Yeah, keep that attached.
This is pretty nice. Yeah. To, how much is it?
So this costs $39.99 on Amazon.
Not bad.
That's, you know, street price. Now, for the pros... it is has a very tight fit on the screen. Whoops, I'm opening up one of Anthony's apps here. It has a very, very tight fit on the screen. No matter how much I shake this to try to make sure that this
That's
phone doesn't fall out, it doesn't fall out. It also is the band moisture wicking, very comfortable. And then finally, the Velcro is very comfortable. It won't rub if you're running for a long time. It's a great, great material. For the cons, the one con that I had is that on the side, you have your controls, your volume up and down, and your lock. And these are a little bit difficult to get into. You need to kind of dig your finger in here to make sure that you can hit the silent. And the volume up and down is a little bit difficult. The hard plastic on the side makes it a little bit difficult to use those on the side. So try, buy, don't buy for the Pure Gear... Pure Move Sport Band. This is a buy. I really enjoyed
it.
Great. Really great materials. And $40 is a great price point. Oh, and also has a nice reflective bits on the logo over here and on the other side. So when you're running and the car sees you, they will hopefully see those reflective bits.
That's actually important. Yeah, yeah.
Very important safety feature.
All
so
right.
All in all, I felt like it was definitely worth the money and one of the better smart sport bands on the market.
Thank you. Chad Johnson, host of OMG Craft, read it up. The Gizwiz, good boy, you get a cheddar fry. There you go.
Thank you, Leo.
You know, when you're feeding your coworkers cheddar fries and other kinds of snacks.
Otherwise, it would just be awkward.
It's important.
If you used any other type of
You don't want to use cheap, junky food.
No.
You want to use delicious, healthy food from Nature Box. Isn't that good?
That's really
Have
good.
Have you had that one before?
No.
Me neither.
No, I've had the... The baked cheddar is the one with flax chips, and they taste a lot like Cheetos.
But these taste like French fries with cheddar cheese. Here, I give this to you.
Oh, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You're too generous.
Well, I got Lone Star Stack Mix. So here's the deal with Nature Box: these are delivered to your door every month. You get three sizes of boxes, so you can get a box that's right for you or your family. If you're a business, you may want several. We order, I don't know how many, four or five boxes a month for our Twit staff. Nutritious and approved, no HFCs, high fructose corn syrup, no trans fats, no artificial flavors or colors, just good stuff.
God, that tastes really good.
And you see, if you're an employer, you should get these because your staff becomes
more. They're in the right amount of salt. Apparently, the stick is made of potato crackers.
There are over 100 choices of NatureBox snacks. You can either just get a complete assortment or choose what you want from sweet, savory, and spicy. They also have snacks for vegans, for gluten-conscious folks, non-GMOs,
carb-conscious. Like less than 15 carbs.
Isn't that good?
Yeah, that was great.
All of these packages are resealable, so it kind of encourages you not to overeat. You don't feel like you have to eat the whole package. You can just have a little treat that's got a Ziploc seal, and you just seal it right back up. They're delightful, and I want to give you a box free. How about that?
For free?
Free! NatureBox.com/twit to start your free trial. The only challenge is... What
choosing
snacks?
Which snacks? They have hundreds.
Yes.
They have so many
We
snacks.
Love those pineapple rings. Those are the best dried fruit. They have plain... Here's sriracha roasted cashews.
I was about to say, they have some of the best... Nuts
spicy,
are really expensive.
Good nuts. Oh, yeah, you know, this is a heavy bag of nuts.
Yeah.
This is a lot of nuts in here.
Yeah.
They're good.
They're nuts for giving us that many nuts.
They're crazy. Go to naturebox.com/twit. Get your first free NatureBox. And you can keep... No.
Oh, yes.
You did such a good job, yes. Chad. You keep those fries. I look like a dork. I admit it. But I'm wearing two watches today.
You know, I would say, compared to my watch, those screens are very small.
How do you survive?
I have a much larger
How do you survive? Motorola released these are Android Wear watches. These are not Apple watches. We have to wait till next year for those. But Google announced at Google I.O. this year, the Android Wear platform. The thing to understand about Android Wear is and you were the one who observed this, they're all essentially the same software-wise.
Absolutely.
It's the hardware where there's some variation. And that's mostly true, although there are some software customizations. This watch on the left is the one that came out first, along with Samsung. This is the LG. And it's square.
And you wear it like that all the time, right?
And I wear it like this all the time.
Both watches the same.
No.
Okay, good.
Because I've been trying the Moto 360. In fact, this is the one everybody was waiting for. It just came out, sold out within a day. And just today, this morning, as we speak, they put it back on sale. They may be sold out already again. The thing that attracts people about the Moto 360 is its looks. It's round. That's nice.
Yes.
Very nice leather band compared to the white rubber band that I got with my LG. In both cases, these are 22-millimeter watch bands, so you could theoretically buy another watch band and replace it. But this leather, you're not going to want to replace right away. It also does something interesting I want to point out. Unlike the Apple Watch, unlike the LG Watch, the band joins the Moto 360 right at the bottom.
Yeah.
So even though these watches tend to be thick for battery, this one is entirely above the band, so it feels like a normal watch. There's another thing I really like about this, and this will not be true of the Apple iWatch. You can put your sleeve over it. It really is more like a real wristwatch. The iWatch is so thick, your sleeve won't actually cover it. And in some cases, the square watches will catch on the sleeve. But let me show you the watch itself, because that's really why you're buying this, is for its functionality. Android Wear ties to an Android phone. It has to be an Android phone, but it could be any Android phone. Now, the difference between the square watch and the round watch is just that the corners are cut off on the cards. It's always cards. You can swipe through the cards by swiping left or swiping right. Swiping right, let's do this again. Swiping right gets rid of a card. Swiping left will give you more information about a card. You can also dictate to it, and you see it's already hearing my dictation. That means you can send text messages. In some cases, you can take a note. You can show you your steps, heart rate. In some cases, you can even respond to text messages. Depends on which text messaging app you're using on your smartphone. With Google Hangouts, when a message comes in, it'll show up on my watch. I can swipe over, press reply, and dictate a response immediately. That's pretty handy. It does a good job. I use this for alarms. I use this when I'm cooking to start a stopwatch. It's really great for that feature. The other thing that's great about these kinds of watches is, of course, the face is customizable. Let me just get rid of some of these cards. Oh, it's 20 degrees in London. By the way, if you swipe right, you get more information. Actually, that's swiping left, right? And then if you swipe right, I never get this right. It gets rid of it. Whoops. And we got a text message from Lisa. By the way, let me show you that. When you get a text message from somebody, this is Hangouts, it automatically puts their picture in there. That's neat,
yeah.
Right? I can swipe right, and I can respond. You bet I am. And it's going to send that reply.
Wow.
I can cancel it. But typically, you just want to let it go. We also, I'm going to get rid of some of these so that I can actually show you. Oh, this is part of the demo. So let me say, okay, got it. If you have a Nest thermostat, you can program your Nest thermostat. Let me swipe all of this out of the way so we can get back to, you see, there's a lot of information.
Yeah.
This is basically Google Now. It also has a pretty good step monitor, and as you can see down here, it has a heart rate monitor, too, on this. This is one of the typefaces. Motorola has unique typefaces, which is nice. You customize these by going into the settings. So I'll scroll down to settings and show you some of the other type watch faces. But you'll notice as I do this, one of the things people don't like about this watch, the flat tire look. Motorola puts some information, some controls here in the bottom. You can't see it so much on a black watch face, but if I switch to a white watch face, you'll see what I mean. It's just cut off a little bit on the bottom there. That doesn't bother me as much as it does some people, but it is certainly something to be aware of. I like the customizable watch faces. Now, when this came out, The Verge and others reported that battery life was bad on the Moto 360. They said you can't even get through a full day. Now, I'll have to explain something about that. That's both true and false. There's by default, it has the same battery life as the LG, but the default setting is slightly different from the other Android Wear watches. There's an ambient watch face on the LG. It's always on. It dims, but it's always on. That is turned off on the 360. The way the 360 is set up, if you're not looking at it, it's, and you could see that early on when I was showing this, it's dark.
It's just off.
It's off. And if you turn this ambient face on, you're not going to get a full day. So the default settings will get you through the day plus. Easily 20 hours. I got through a 15-hour day with about 50% left. So there's plenty of battery life on this if you can get used to the idea that the watch face is not always on. It's only on when you look at it. And here's the other problem. It's not even then always on because sometimes it's not responsive. So I flipped it up and it comes on, but it doesn't always do that. I think that's why Motorola gave you a stem. It's the only Android Wear watch with a little button. If the watch face doesn't come on when you tip it up, you can also press the button to bring up the watch face. So I think in many ways, I like Android Wear. I'm a little concerned about the Apple Watch because it feels like they've put too much functionality. This is very simple. It's basically Google Now cards. That is a Facebook notification that you can swipe off. You can dictate to it. You can tap it. Set a timer for 5 minutes, and it will do that. Actually, it didn't do that, but set a timer for 5 minutes. I do this with cooking all the time. It's really handy. Because now it's going to set it in 5 minutes from now. My watch will go off.
Now, does it have the issue of, okay, Google?
No, you don't have to do that. Or
well,
you can do
I
that.
Can say it. And
yeah, anybody can say it. There's, it's not trained. Fine. It's not a big deal. Yeah, and in fact, if you don't say anything, it'll time out after a while.
Right. But I can say, okay, Google, remind me to pick up the milk.
Not really worried about that too much. Exactly. I guess somebody could set a reminder for you without your... But you know, because he's shouting.
Yeah, he's yelling right next to you. Yeah.
The other thing that they do really well with this, and you know what? I don't. Jason, could you bring me the dock for this? I'd forgotten, left the dock. Jason's Howells. This is Jason's watch. I gave it back to him. Most of these Android Wear watches have pogo pins on the back and a little magnetic dock that you have to put it in to charge it overnight. Mm-hmm. And by the way, yeah, you're going to want to charge these overnight. That's just kind of the nature of these smart watches. But that doesn't bother me as much as it bothers some people. I charge my phone every night, too. I just take the phone out, put it in the charger, take the watch out, put it in the charger. I do really prefer Moto's charger. It's a little dock, and you put the watch in sideways like this. It won't, because it's not plugged in, it's not going to do anything. But it changes to a dim clock face and a charging ring, and this makes it actually an excellent bedside clock.
Wow.
So I think that's kind of, and there's no pogo pins. It just sits in there and does wireless charging. So I have to give them positive grades for this. Look, this category is brand new. I think people were right to say, let's wait and see what the 360 is like compared to the LG and Samsung Android Wear watches. I definitely think this is the best Android Wear watch. Let me give you the pros and cons, though, before I give you my recommendation. First of all, round is good. This is definitely the best looking, the most stylish. You could wear this to a dinner party, to a concert, to, you know, a black tie affair and not feel like you're wearing some sort of weird, geeky watch, right? I mean, this just looks like a nice watch. It's not great that it's dark all the time, but maybe they think you're a secret agent or something. I don't know. There are customizations that Motorola offers. Its own Fit app that is a little bit better, I find, than the other Android Wear watches. And I just love the smart charger, the wireless charger that doubles as a bedside clock. I think they did that very nicely. See, there it is.
Oh, wow.
Unfortunately, the battery life requires that you leave the screen off, except when you're looking at the watch. That's a negative. It's the only Android Wear so far that requires that. And as you'll notice, it's not always real good about popping the watch face up.
Now, do you think that's because of the screen technology they use? Is it not OLED, or do you think it's just a smaller battery?
Well, after iFixit tore this down, we found out that it has a smaller battery and a four-year-old system on a chip from a TI, an OMAP, that is a very much higher power processor.
Oh, well,
so for reasons I don't fully understand, Motorola didn't design this to have good battery life. Again, if you don't, you know, if you turn off the default setting, which is that the watch face goes off when you're not looking at it, plenty of life. It's not a problem. It's, and I mean, I use it all the time and all. It's not a problem. It's only a problem if you turn that ambient face on all the time. Then it won't get through a whole day. And I think that's a negative. The flat tire also bothers some people. So there are a couple of cons. Battery life, flat tire, doesn't always come on. However, and I really agonized over this last night because this morning more Moto 360s came on sale. I wasn't able to get it when it first came out. I didn't order it in time. So I had a couple of weeks to think about it. And I finally decided to buy it. So I did buy this morning. So I think I'm putting my own money where my mouth is. By the way, two choices of bands. That's the gray. I always like the black. That's the one I've got. But they do have a gray band as well. It's also a little more expensive than the other Android Wear watches at $250, but still $100 less than the least expensive Apple Watch. I think for some time to come, this Moto 360 is going to be the smart watch for most of us if you're using an Android device. So a definite buy on the Moto 360. I want to thank Chad Johnson, Mike Elgin. I want to thank Paul DeBourgeois, our photographer, for his reviews. Thanks also to Jason Howell. And thanks to all of you for watching. That concludes this edition of Before You Buy. We do put this show out in a number of different ways. Of course, it's on the website, twit.tv/BYB. That's the full show. But you can also get individual reviews of each of these products if you want to share it with a friend or family member at the YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/beforeyoubuy. You can subscribe to and get each show each week as we put it out. It comes out on Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday evening, right after we record the show. If you want to ask us to review something, byb@twit.tv. That's our email address. I thank you for joining us, and I hope you'll join us next week. Remember, you have to watch before you buy. Bye-bye.